A big meeting in Washington today about the federal debt limit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Vice President Joe Biden will meet with congressional Republicans today at the White House to talk about the budget and the national debt ceiling. And there are reports that the two sides are getting closer to a deal to avoid letting the federal government default on its debt. For more, let's bring in Mark Zandi, chief economist with Moody's Analytics. He's with us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how significant is today's meeting and what are they going to be talking about?
It is significant. They're going to be talking about how to avoid hitting the debt ceiling, because if we do, the economy would probably be pushed back into recession. And they're going to lay out, I think, some goals with respect to future deficit reduction and some mechanisms that they would employ if we don't hit those targets in the future. So it's not about determining exactly how we hit those goals, but determining those goals is an important step.
And I see that they're not going to be trying to deal with the big entitlement programs and stuff like that right away.
No, I think that would be a big step too far. I think the thinking is that we need an election for that. And I think that's appropriate. I think we need to have a referendum on what to do about Medicare and Social Security and tax rates and those kinds of things, and the next president will decide.
And, Mark, if they're not going to be dealing with those big things right away, what about the concerns coming from the rating agencies like S&P and as well as those who invest in U.S. debt?
Well, I think investors and the rating agencies will take solace in this. I mean, I think a few weeks ago that they would have been shocked that we have gotten this far. So I think relative to their expectations, this is very good news.
Mark Zandi, chief economist with Moody's Analytics, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, tomorrow is the one-year anniversary of a Wall Street disaster that we still don't know the cause of. I'm talking about the so-called flash crash, when the Dow dropped 600 points in 5 minutes. It recovered a few minutes later, but many investors lost a lot of money in the drop. Here's our New York bureau chief, Heidi Moore.
After the markets went into cardiac arrest during the flash crash last year, regulators took 6 months and 104 pages to diagnose the problem, a few computer trades that went haywire. But there are still lots of questions, says Larry Tabb. His firm, Tabb Group, analyzes the stock markets.
Are we comfortable that that cannot happen in the future? And is everything right with the markets going forward? And I think the answer is an equivocal who knows.
Regulators have put in place several rules to keep stocks from crashing to zero when something goes wrong. But some skeptics would say that's like using Band-Aids to fix a heart attack. Here's Jamie Selway. He examines the markets for ITG.
There is more unknown out there than they're used to. If you ask, do people feel confident, I don't think you'd get many yeses.
Experts say the regulators' Band-Aids have worked so far, but the market is really due for a full physical checkup. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
To Memphis now, which is suing Wells Fargo for targeting black neighborhoods with subprime mortgages back during the housing bubble. Many of those mortgages have led to foreclosures, and the city says Wells Fargo is responsible for lost tax revenue as well as an increase in crime. Wells Fargo had asked a court to dismiss the lawsuit, but yesterday a federal judge denied that motion to dismiss. The lawsuit will go forward. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down right now in overseas trading, but here in the U.S., General Motors said this morning its first quarter profit more than tripled. That's thanks to a strong sales recovery in the U.S. and a big boost in Asia. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 83 points to close at 12,723.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
President Obama says he's planning another push for immigration reform in the coming weeks and months. He met with the Congressional Hispanic Caucus about the issue earlier this week. The president wants to provide a pathway to citizenship for immigrants who are already here illegally. And we're going to dig into the economics of this now with our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Is immigration policy a place where we should look for economic growth?
Look, Jeremy, I know it's controversial, but there's just a large body of economic research that says immigration, immigrants, it's the steroids of economic growth. So if you think of companies like Intel or Google, a lot of their employees, they're immigrants, the high-tech sector. 52% or about half of all companies starting up in Silicon Valley started up by immigrants. So one of the best things that we can do for this economy is just to tone down the rhetoric and put out the welcome mat.
Put out the welcome mat. And I saw that Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York City recently said that one way to do that is to say, yeah, sure, immigrants, come on in, as long as you promise to move to Detroit for a while.
Well, it's brilliant. Detroit has lost 26% of its population over the past decade. I mean, this city is really struggling. But Jeremy, think about neighborhoods over the past 20, 30 years in New York, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, and they were burned out neighborhoods. And immigrants moved in. They started small businesses, opened restaurants, markets. And these neighborhoods were revitalized. So let's do it to a whole city.
Well, Chris, there are some people that are going to hear that and still be very skeptical and say this is a time when we've got very high unemployment. Why would we want to bring in all of these new immigrants to crowd the labor force?
Because over the long run, and we'll define the long run as 10 years, over the long run, immigrants add to productivity, they add to average incomes, and they don't take jobs away from native-born Americans. So in the short run, this is the worst downturn since the 1930s. Everyone gets hurt. But in the long run, we all benefit.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, to the UK, where a guy named Stephen Nesbitt got a tattoo on his thigh in honor of the royal wedding. The tattoo artist inked, "Good luck, William and Kate, 28th April 2011. The only problem is the wedding was on the 29th of April, not the 28th. The tattoo artist has refunded Nesbitt $50, and we've got a picture of the erroneous artwork at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
It's that time of year again when high school seniors send in deposits to their future colleges. But what if you're still waitlisted?
It might be that what they really need is a math major who plays the oboe, and you just can't be that person.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Exciting and potentially disappointing times for college-bound students. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.